It's the Senate versus the House on taxes. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio. The Senate released its proposal for tax reform yesterday. The bill differs in many ways from the one making its way through the House of Representatives. Marketplace's Mariel Segarra is here with us live to help us understand the differences between the two. Mariel, let's start with the state and local tax deduction.
Yeah, when you pay state and local taxes, you get to deduct those on your federal income tax returns. About 44 million people do that every year. The House bill gets rid of most of those deductions, with an exception for up to $10,000 in property taxes. The Senate bill goes even further, and it gets rid of state and local tax deductions entirely. Kenneth Rogoff, an economics professor at Harvard, says that hurts some states more than others.
The state and local tax deduction is a huge benefit for states like New York and California, which have very high tax rates compared to others.
So getting rid of it would be a big blow to residents and lawmakers from those states. And some of them are Republicans, by the way.
And what about the corporate tax rate? Both bills lower it from 35 to 20%.
Right. But in the Senate bill, that cut wouldn't go into effect until 2019. And that's ruffling some feathers because a big part of this GOP push for tax reform is the promise that corporations will get a lower tax rate. Kenneth Rogoff again.
If they defer it for a year, people might wonder, will it ever happen? There's an election in 2018.
And the idea is if lawmakers lower the tax rate before that happens, it would be harder and more costly to repeal.
Another area that probably a lot of people are interested in is the deduction for student loan interest. How do the bills handle that one?
The House bill would get rid of it. And that's been controversial because the bill supporters, the bill supporters say students wouldn't lose out overall because the rest of the changes would offset their loss. But education advocacy groups say that would make it harder for people to pay for college. The Senate bill keeps the student loan interest deduction. So the two chambers are going to have to work that and a lot of other things out before a bill can pass.
All right. Marketplace's Mariel Segarra, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And let's do the numbers. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 50 points. That is 0.2%. The S&P 500 is down 0.2%. The NASDAQ, also down 0.2%. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 2.37%. Uber has lost a major legal battle in the UK, centering over whether its drivers are full employees entitled to minimum wage and holiday pay. An appeals court ruled that Uber indeed had to treat its drivers as employees. Uber will appeal. Tomorrow is Veterans Day, a day to honor the contributions of the United States' 21 million former service members. About half of American veterans used the GI Bill to pay for higher education. And up until recently, that benefit had a time limit. But in August, President Trump signed what's being called the Forever GI Bill. It lets recent veterans access money for college throughout their entire lives. Marketplace's Andy Euler has more.
Captain Mike Gonzalez, age 31, served 8 years as an Army medevac pilot, flying injured soldiers out of combat zones and watching doctors save them.
Being able to, like, just witness these things at firsthand that are just astounding, and I want that, and I want to be able to put my hands on patients and treat people.
The experience led him to the University of Texas at Austin. Since he finished active duty in December, he's enrolled in biology and chemistry classes, the prerequisites for med school.
In the long run, I'm hoping to maximize that benefit in medical school, which is going to cost significantly more than undergraduate coursework.
The GI Bill gets him up to $22,000 in tuition a year. He'll need loans on top of that, but the new bill loosens restrictions on how and when veterans use their benefits. Gonzalez can, say, get a job for a few years and not worry about his benefits expiring.
I mean, that allows greater flexibility. Everyone likes to have that.
Under the new Forever GI Bill, that flexibility applies to anyone released from service after January 2013. Veteran advocates say the changes reflect modern realities. The original Servicemen's Readjustment Act was passed in 1944. The idea was to help soldiers who were mostly teenagers when they began service, who'd mostly been drafted.
And so we needed some kind of legislation to guarantee that these men coming back would have something to do and that they'd be able to buy homes.
Jeremy Suri teaches history and public affairs at UT Austin. He says many of today's soldiers are volunteers who already have degrees. They may serve for years as reservists or be career soldiers who take several tours of duty. For them, the GI Bill benefits could be more about career advancement or retraining.
We're saying come into the military, serve your country, and over the long term, you'll have these very important platinum benefits that will allow you to become a better citizen and better contributor.
The Forever GI Bill not only extends the timeline to use higher education funds, it includes more soldiers at a cost of about $3 billion over 10 years. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
President Trump visited Vietnam today, where he struck a defiant tone, telling the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Summit that the U.S. would no longer tolerate what he called chronic trade abuses. While the president criticized group trading agreements and has previously withdrawn the U.S. from the Trans-Pacific Partnership, he said the U.S. was open to one-on-one trade agreements with Asian countries if those agreements were what he called fair. We have more on that at Marketplace.org. I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.